And indeed, we want to say Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers here. And I don't know where you're at as a mom this weekend, if you're here, or you're in the theater, or you're listening online, but we just want to say a couple things to you. We want to say we see you. We want to say we honor you. We want to say thank you. We want to say that we recognize the wheels come off without you. And there are times we take that for granted. There are times we are not thoughtful, and we're sorry about that. But moms, we honor you. We honor you because we at Jacob's Well have a deep core conviction that we believe in family. And at the heart of family is a mom. If families fall apart, we fall apart. And there's nothing you can do to replace family. You can't spend enough money. You can't start a program. There's not enough government in the world. No matter how good the schools are, family matters. And moms, you make it work. And so we just want to say Happy Mother's Day to you. I want to say that whatever kind of mom you are, I want to say whatever heart of a mom that you have, if you're a mom that looks like a pretty traditional mom, or if you're a single mom, or if you're a stepmom, if you're a foster mom, or if you're an adoptive mom, or if you're a mom who has a child who's in heaven now, if you're a mom whose kids are grown up or whose kids are young, if you're a mom who, you know, maybe this is the first Mother's Day where your mom is in heaven, I just want to say that we love you and that God loves you and that we are here as your church to just celebrate you as moms and grandmoms and all those kinds of things. And what we want to talk about this weekend is what it means to think about the seasons of moms. I've got a wonderful mom I want to show you here. This is my mom. Isn't she beautiful? I agree. She can clap for mom. She watches online and I haven't got her a gift yet, so that'll help. No, not really. Anyway, but look at this. I mean, this is all in one woman. Think about that. This has been a little girl who was a daughter, and your dad's sister and all that kind of stuff, and growing up, and then she became a young woman who became a wife, and then she was a young mother. And then she became a mother with teenagers, and then she became a mother with kids who had kids, and now she's a mother with kids who have kids. She had 6 children, one who now is in heaven. She has 22 grandkids and 27 and a half great grandkids. That's an amazing legacy coming from one person. All this is in the power of a mother who can bring forth life. That is worthy of celebrating. That is worthy of saying, wow. That is worthy of taking some time and just saying, that is beautiful. It is the first touch of God, mother, isn't it? It's the first time God says, this is what I'm like. This is what love feels like. This is like what it means to have someone cheer for you when the reasons to cheer for you have gotten a little thin. You know, this is the one who believes in you. This was God's first gift to us. And even though in this world, mom is complicated, it's confusing, and the world doesn't value it like it used to, and poor moms, I mean, you're kind of made to feel bad for going to work and staying home, and mom guilt is a thing, just push that all aside. And just come back and celebrate that when you are being a mom, in whatever form it takes, whether you're just a mom at home or mom at work, or if you're a woman who helps parent someone, and you're not officially a mom, but you have the heart of a mom, we just want to celebrate all of that. Now, the biblical example, and this is just a great example, my mom, isn't she beautiful? She sure is. Said that a couple times. Get credit for that. And so I want to talk about the seasons of mom, because it occurred to us as we were thinking about Mother's Day, and I talked with several of the moms who are part of our staff team and part of our leadership team, you know, what is it about being mom? And one of them says, you know, it's just that you're not one person as a mom. You have to become multiple different people. You have to change. You have to grow. You have to adapt, because what a toddler needs is different than what a young child needs, is different than a preteen and a teen and then adult and then adult with children. You have to constantly be changing. And there is a sense that every time a mom has to change, she sacrifices something. She gives something up. She gives some control and some influence. And one of the big lessons of parenting, this is just like parenting 101, but it's so profound, so easy to mess this up out of fear and pride. But here's the thing. When your kids are little, you are heavy with protect. The older they get, the less you should protect and the more you should prepare. That is to say, at the youngest possible age, let them start making choices for themselves. Let them start owning decisions for themselves. Let them start struggling. Never rob your child of the dignity of their own struggle. And as a mom, to see your kids doing that, it's hard, it's painful, and it costs you something that's really hard for people to understand. Now, the example we have in the Bible is the incredible example of Jesus' mother. It just should say something to us that God says, you know what, I'm gonna have my son born into poverty and difficulty, he's got a lot to face, but the one thing I'm gonna give him is I'm gonna give him a rock star mother, because he's just gonna need that. And so that says something to you, but the value God gives to this thing of mother. And we have the example of Mary, the mother of Jesus. And what we see here is a story in the scripture where Jesus was bringing, or Jesus' mother and father were bringing them, Jesus, to church. Very much like these wonderful parents who brought their children to be dedicated this weekend, saying we want our child to know God and be raised in God's way. And they were doing this. They were bringing Jesus up to the temple as was taught in the Old Testament and taught as the customs of the people. And while they were there, this prophet came up, took Jesus in his arms, and started prophesying over him about him being the Messiah and the hope of Israel. And all the promises of God are falling into this. And you imagine Mary and Joseph hearing this, and they already, you know, had the angels telling him Jesus is going to be a big deal. I mean, can you imagine raising the Messiah? You thought you had it hard. I mean, that's a lot. I mean, okay, just one job, just raise the Messiah. Okay. Some of you parents think your kids are the Messiah. They're not. But they actually had to do it. So the point is that what happens is they're in this temple, and listen to what the prophet then says to Mary. And in this is an incredible nugget of truth that needs to be understood and validated as we celebrate this Mother's Day. Look what it says. It says, and his father and mother marveled at what was said about him. One of the most wonderful things and horrifying things about being a parent is surprise. Is marveling, is I did not see that coming. I did not expect it to feel this way. I remember when I held my first son and I thought to myself, I was crying, I was blubbering, it was horrible. The nurses were laughing at me, which I thought was insensitive. But here I am, I'm holding this child and I said, I don't know what I'm feeling. I've never felt anything like this. This is terrifying. This really should go to someone else more qualified than me, okay? And so there's this marveling at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them. That was the prophet. And Simeon blessed them. And moms, be blessed. Receive a blessing. Don't deflect it. Just receive it. You're doing God's work. God, he blessed them and said, Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed. And your child is appointed for something. And again, children and receiving children is an issue of stewardship, is an issue of trust, okay? And your children aren't about you or for you. It's about equipping them to do the thing that God has for them to do in their life and releasing them. And it requires loss on the part of parents and especially on the part of moms. Behold, this child is appointed for the falling and the rising of many Israel and will be a sign that will be opposed. So this Jesus is going to come and his life's going to be full of conflict. And there's going to be some things, some people, some obstacles that will oppose him. And in your child's life, you will see that. And when they're young, you try to protect them from that. But as they get older, they got to figure that out. They got to go through that. And seeing our kids struggle and having the dignity of their struggle, man, it costs a mom especially to do that. She goes on, and a sword will pierce through your own soul as well. He said, there's going to be a pain that cuts you to the very beginning, that the essence of your people and the essence of your person. We're going to see in just next week that this thing of soul is a word not for the spiritual part of yourself, but it's a description of every part of your body, that this is every part of your being that is going to affect your body, and moms pay a price in their body and in your mind mentally and in your emotions and relationally. This is going to cost you. There's going to be some pain involved. We just need to acknowledge that and validate that and celebrate the moms who have the courage to live that so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. He says, if your child's going to be great and your child's going to be great, man, it's going to cost you something to go through, see them go through the things they're going to have to go through to be that person. This is a young woman. So what are the themes here? This is when a woman moves from a daughter to mother. that she's been a daughter of a person, of people, and a daughter of God. And now she takes on that role of being a person who receives to a person who gives. That there's this incredible emergence of this strong, noble, incredible person that comes forward, this incredible thing of mother that needs to be celebrated. It's the place where you're anticipating, you have anxiety that this person is growing inside of you. Sometimes it feels like a thing is growing inside of you, and it's going to come out, and here it's going to change everything, and holy cow, and anticipation and anxiety, and the anxiety goes away after you have the child because you're pretty much done worrying about them once you give birth, right? No. Anxiety is the thing because you want more for them than they even want for themselves. This is part of the calling of motherhood and what they begin to experience. And then there's babies to kids, that these little children who are just kind of beautiful and soft and cuddly, then they start to talk and their personalities emerge. And there's this understanding in this early stage that they are asserting themselves. I don't know if you realize this, but your job as a parent is for your kids to go away, to go and do things that they were created to do. And so the very first time your child struggles to lift their head, they are asserting their independence. And that should be validated. They crawl away and then they walk away, but they quickly run back. There's a day where they don't come back as often. They don't come back, and that they will be who they are meant to be in their time, in their story, in their generation. It begins with baby to kids, and then it goes to that other when kids turn into these things called youth. And here's the thing about the transition is that when kids are kids, you are their world. One of the things I tell young families all the time is don't waste a lot of money on vacations if your kids are little, because when your kids are little, you're the toy. You're the experience. You're what they want to crawl all over and what they want to experience. That changes. There's this time where a switch goes off and you go from wise and cool and wonderful and be with you to not so much. You know, to being, you become really ignorant and annoying and why are you in my room and all these other kinds of things like that. And this is a transition. And all of that is good, natural, and normal. It's the emergence of the person that you want to see. It's called differentiation, that I'm not you. I don't know who I am yet. And I'm going to overdo the not you until I figure out who I am so I can come back and have a relationship with you as a whole, healthy human being. It's this incredible journey. It's hard to figure out, especially for
moms. Hi, my name is Mackenzie. And I've been going to Jacob's Well since it started, and I recently had a baby. He's a wonderful, beautiful 3-month-old, and I'm in the young woman season of motherhood. What is it like being a mom in this season of my life? I would say that everything feels so new. Every day is different. There's not one thing that feels the same at all, but that brings a lot of really joyful moments and also some challenging ones. The most challenging part of being a mom in this season for me is honestly lack of some sleep, lack of some structure to my day right now. I feel like I am learning so fast and trying to figure it out just on the go, and sometimes that can be a little overwhelming. The biggest blessing this season has been watching my baby grow, and just every day there is something new that he's experiencing, or like the other day he smiled at me for the first time and I just about died. I thought it was the cutest thing ever, and that just brings me so much joy. The advice that I give to a mom in this season is, because it's new, we kind of tend to want to control that and want to do it all ourselves. But the advice that I'd want to give is to let people help you. People want to support you, whether it's family, whether it's friends, extended relatives. People want to be there for you and to let people love on you during this very new season of life. My last piece of advice to moms in this season would be to enjoy and soak up every moment that you can. It goes by so fast. I feel like I had him yesterday and it's been 3 months already. And just to soak in all these little moments, because life happens in what feels like the blink of an eye.
See, that's just beautiful, isn't it? So Kenzie grew up in our church, and one of the cool things about our church right now is that we've got multiple three-generation families in our church and a couple, four generations, and it's just an incredible thing to see that emerge, this strong, incredible, noble person figuring it out. Now, some of you moms have been around for a little longer, probably going, hey, that girl doesn't know what she doesn't know, and that's probably true, and let's not tell her today. You know, it's okay. She's doing great, but that's the thing. All that is part of that young woman who has become a mother is glorious, is beautiful, is strong, is noble. If you are at that stage, we just want to say we see you, we celebrate you, you're doing God's work. There will be a time you'll get more sleep than you're getting right now. It's just the way it is right now. And just God bless you. We want to celebrate you. Now, there's another stage in the seasons of mom, and this is what we call the sandwich generation. This is the folks who have emerging kids that are adultish, becoming adults, moving out, moving back in, all that kind of stuff. But at the same time, this very often is the stage where you start taking care of your parents and that relationship starts changing. And so you move from a daughter to something else and it's a very unusual time. You see this change in Mary as she's having to learn to let go. And it's incredibly difficult. It's in this story. Now, this is a story where the children, Mary and Joseph and the family went up to a feast in Jerusalem. And it was an age where Jesus was transitioning in terms of his age. So when he was younger, what would have been the case in the custom of the time is that as a young child, he would have traveled with the women. Okay? But then when he turns of age, there would have been a time where he traveled with the men. And they kept that pretty separate at this time. And so they went to the festival and then they came back. And on the way back, Mary went to Joseph and said, how's Jesus doing with the guys? And Joseph said, what are you talking about? He's not with me. And they freak out and they run back to Jerusalem. One job, raise the Messiah. They lost the Messiah. Okay, that's a lot in your head. So 3 days of looking for the child, freak out. They finally find him in the temple, and this is the conversation, and this is just the quintessential mom-kid conversation. Watch this. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And isn't that just about parenting, particularly teens? You're astonished at the things they do and the things they say and that they're actually becoming interesting and just the capacity for thought. And then you're astonished how clueless they are and how thoughtless they are. And why is it so hard to take the dish from the sink and put it in the dishwasher? Things like that. It's astonishing. You know, are these human beings or are they something else? So they're astonished. And his mother said to him, son, why have you treated us so? And doesn't that just sound like a mom? Why did you do this to me? You know what? I'll be fine. Never mind. Never mind. No, I care. It's just a total mom kind of feeling she's experiencing. And she says, behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress. And you just know Joseph's going, yeah, great distress. When Joseph's going, I thought he'd be okay. And this whole kind of conflict going on. But this is Mary being a mom. We see this struggle a later time in the Gospels. The pastor's don't look at right now, where it says Jesus and his brothers and his mother came and they were going to try to take Jesus away quietly because they thought maybe he had gone insane. And who knows what was going on in Mary's mind other than that mom's natural capacity to protect, to nurture, to get him out of trouble. They knew people were getting angry and all this was going on. And our temptation when kids are in the thick of life, having to make decisions, going through tough times, is to rob them of the dignity of their own struggle. Rather than teach them to process that and validate their feelings and so many other things like that. So here's Mary. Now listen to what Jesus says. And he said to them, why were you looking for me? I mean, just such a kid response, isn't it? I don't know what the big deal was. You know, I'm not a kid anymore. I'm not a little baby anymore. This is a person emerging who's supposed to be growing up and indeed isn't it? It is growing up. Did you not know that I must be in my father's house? And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. Basically saying, listen, I got things to do in my life. I got things that are important to me. I got things that matter to me. I got something I'm supposed to do. And I can't stay here with you being your kid if you ever want me to become the thing God has created me to be. And when a mom gets that, when a dad gets that, there is something in us that is lost, something deep. It's control. It's the desire to protect. It's the desire to protect ourselves because we would take any pain. But watching them in pain, watching them struggle, that's the worst. That's the absolute worst. And that's a big part of what it means to be in the sandwich. Now look at this. And then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was in submission to them. We got to learn more about that. It's honoring parents. and honoring the role they have. We got to get back to some of that. And his mother treasured up these things in her heart. And Jesus increased, and this is what we want for our kids, in wisdom, stature, and favor with God and man. He was growing up. And so in the midst of all this, you have these parents. And again, many times what you have is you have a parent whose child's coming of age, and at the same time, they've got parents that they're caring for. This is when young adults and older parents kind of sandwich this stage of life very often. It's launching an empty nest, and it's meaning end in identity. So if a mom who saw herself as a mom, as the protector, now needs to see herself as something else, then who am I? How do I find my identity again as a daughter of God when my roles are so radically changing? When there's less to do and more to think about, it's just a very stressful time. And kids become friends, that beginning of that transition. Now, we've got a mom in this church who does this, who's living in the midst of it. She is the most beautiful mom in our church. She's amazing. She's great. She's fabulous. And let's hear what she has to say about being in the sandwich stage in the season of mom.
Hi, I'm Whitney Bertheum, and I've been attending Jacob's Well for about 20 years now, ever since we started it in our house. I'm actually in the sandwich season of motherhood. Right now, you know, all of our kids have moved out of our house, but I also have a father that I take care of. He has Parkinson's, and I'm his main caregiver. You know, I can look at myself and, you know, I'm a mom, but I don't have any kids at home. And I'm also a daughter, but I also parent my parents. So it's completely different than I thought it would be. I think the best advice that I could give any mom at this stage of life is just to stay connected to your kids. I connect with my kids through text, through phone calls, through FaceTime, through memes, through jokes, through TikToks. We just, however they like to connect. Some like to be in person, have lunch. I just try to stay connected to them as much as I can. The other thing I would say is to really learn how to take time for yourself. If you're in my situation and you thought you'd have a lot more time at this stage of life, but you're caring for parents, you have to take care of yourself, and that's okay. You know, I think that the most challenging part of being a mom at this stage of life with kids is just allowing them to move forward and live their lives. Sometimes it's pretty hard to watch them make decisions that maybe I necessarily wouldn't have made, but then to get to watch them be brave and move forward and live their lives the way they want to live. Sometimes that can be challenging, but the best part of that is knowing they're the best part of me. And that's the best thing that I've ever done, was to be able to have children and watch them grow and learn, and just to get to stand off now to the side and watch them live their lives and be proud of them.
Isn't she beautiful? Smoking hot, that one. Tell you what. Love that lady. That was weird. All right. I understand. But there's a power to that. There's a beauty to that. There's a wisdom of that, of figuring out that. And it's complicated, and it's hard, and it takes a special kind of courage, a special kind of wisdom. And if you're a mom at that stage and something like that, we just want to say we see you. We love you. We respect you. We thank you for the work that you're doing and the parts of yourself that you're giving up so that your kids can emerge. It's a powerful, beautiful picture of God. There's one more season of mom we want to celebrate, and that's what we call the wise matriarch. That is the moms who are a little more seasoned, a little more mature, a little further down the road, not older necessarily. I wouldn't use that word about moms, but just, you know, I'm going to just read the scripture. So this is an example from Jesus. This is the stage where what moms do mostly is watch. What they do mostly is watch. And they pray. There's something about praying grandmothers. Two things why we have praying grandmothers. One is they've lived long enough to know the most powerful thing you can do for your kids is pray. And the second thing is that that's what they can do. And they've come to believe in it. But this is seen in Jesus in this most profound verse. But standing by the cross, going through his suffering, going through his struggle, you know, going in the thing that God has called him to do, of Jesus, was his mother. And that's the matriarch. It's when your kids have kids. It's when you get to the point where you see their struggle and you can't do anything what you used to be able to do about it. It's their life to live, and you're their friends, you come alongside them, but it's a different kind of thing. This is where grandmother comes in. Apparently, it's great being a grandparent because you don't have to do any of the hard stuff. You just get to do the whole wonderful fun stuff, sugar them up and send them home. I mean, I can't wait. I think some people have said, if I would have known grandparenting was so good, I would have skipped the parenting and gone right to it. I'm not sure how they would have done that, but I mean, it sounds like a good gig if you can get it. So grandmothering is good. And then there's the idea of matriarch. And what do we mean by a matriarch? It's someone who holds a place of honor and respect in a family. So it's something like my mom. Like almost 100 people came from my mom. That is powerful. And she is the oldest of her generation. And honestly, there's not as many left in her generation. And there's a thing where aunts and uncles and cousins and nephews all come and see Grandma Carol because there's just a respect. There's just a, you are where we came from. You are part of that. And even those cousins I have whose parents are gone now, they connect down to my mom in a way because they're the connection. It's just it's a holy thing. It's an honoring thing. It's the humility of understanding I came from somewhere and I owe something to where I came from. It's honoring what has been by how we're living now. And so this is a stage of matriarch. It's worthy of respect and honor. This is where you rediscover that I'm a daughter of God. You start as a daughter and you come back as a daughter. And ultimately, what is your identity? What is your meaning? What is your purpose? What is your destiny? It's to be a daughter of God. This is where you do some of your most important work for your family in your example and in your prayer and in the person you have become. And it's less doing, it's more being. It's absolutely beautiful. It's absolutely holy. We have a wonderful example in this, one of my favorite people in our church. Let's go ahead and listen to Diane and hear what she has
Hello,
to say.
Hello, everyone. I'm Diane Bryant, and I've been at Jacob's Well for about 18 years. And I happen to be, by definition of my age, I guess, in the wise matriarch season of motherhood. So I have adult children and I have grands, and they range from, 2 years old to 16. So in this season of motherhood, I feel that what you can begin to experience is perhaps a bit of revisioning what that looks like to be a mother. With your adult children, it's allowing them to be the adults that they are and recognizing that I'm not primary in their life anymore as the one who has to tell them what to do and how to do it. But you begin to realize with your adult children that that's what they now are able to do. And with the grands, you get to revision doing all the things you wanted to do as a parent, but you couldn't because you were supposed to be responsible. And so you get to be really irresponsible as a grandparent. I'm a nana and married to a papa, and we get to delight in that. And so this season of motherhood and grandmotherhood is a treat. One of the blessings is just seeing each of them emerge into becoming who they are. And that, again, is a life process, but being able to stand back and watch that happen, to recognize this season too shall pass, and it really does, and now you get to see all of those years where you thought, oh my gosh, will this ever end? This stuff that is so hard, but yet so good, and it does. And now you get to watch it emerge in your adult children's lives and in your grandchildren's life. But the things that we fret over in all these different seasons of life as a mother and motherhood are not, in the big picture, really what God is all about. And if we can just walk with Him in all of that, we have to ask ourselves over and over again, am I really trusting you, God, when I say, here's this child, they're yours? Am I really trusting you? Do I have to day after day take that back and say, no, I think I know best? But honestly, that is the bottom line, I think, for how we walk with our children, no matter what age they're at. Because as a follower of Christ, it is that, of course, He's the only one we can trust to do that which He knows is best. So in prayer, I'm surrendering my way, my want, my will, to joining Him in the good that only He knows He desires to be about in that child's life. So that kind of prayer is an offering of surrender and sacrifice, and yet the joy of knowing that you're joining God in what He knows to be the absolute best. Even in those times when it looks like your child's just not aiming in the direction you think they should be, that God's the one who who's in the midst of that. And you can join him as you join in prayer for his good that he's going to bring about in his way in that child's life.
And isn't that absolutely beautiful? I mean, isn't that powerful? I mean, think about all of that being in one person and one woman and one just being that God has invested all that from a child to a daughter to a young woman to a mother and all the way to a matriarch. It's an incredible journey. And if you are here today and you're in that matriarch journey, I just want to say we see you. We celebrate you. We honor you. You merit the respect of the people of God, and we just thank you for what you've done. Now, let me just kind of pull this all together by simply saying, you may see these three stories, and you may say, boy, that's not my story. You don't understand. I had this situation, these kids, and I'm estranged from my kids, and this. Listen, we cleaned up all the messy parts on that. These folks would all come, and they'd say, yeah, there's some complication, there's some hard, there's some other stuff like that. But at the end of the day, what it's all about is the calling to stay faithful, to love the kids, to love the people of God, to shepherd them in the most wonderful way. So let me just give you a couple next steps and just a blessing. I want to encourage you to seek those who are older and wiser, those who are a little further ahead of you, who you know what? Half the time they don't even have an answer, but being able to tell them what you're going through and not have to explain what you're going through, man, that's a great. To ask a question and not have to explain the question, that's what another mom can do. And so just someone who listen and invest and just encourage. Every stage has its challenges. There's wisdom in those who've gone before. Think deeply, this is for all us non-moms, about what it means to meet mom's needs. She needs to be seen. She needs to be told she's beautiful. She needs to be told she's wonderful. She needs to be loved. She needs to know that what she's doing is important. You need to do the dishes. You need to vacuum. You need to make the bed. Okay, you need to watch the kids. You need to give her permission to take care of herself. You need to just not let the world's lies about you should be guilty for working, you should be guilty for staying home, you should be all that foolishness. That is not of God. You are supposed to do what you are called to do and celebrate it. Just love on mom. So what I want you to do, if you're sitting next to a mom, why don't you go ahead and put your arm around her right now. Come on, all right. Tell her she's beautiful. Tell her you love her. Say you're sorry. Maybe again, I'm sorry. All right. And just, mom, know that you are loved and you are valued. If this is a great Mother's Day for you, if this is a painful for you, we love you. God loves you. You are doing God's work. If you are a student here and you're just student because you're a student here, call your mom today. Tell her that you love her. Tell her that, you know, she's beautiful, and tell her you're sorry, okay? Those three things, all right? And then you'll be set, all right? The last thing I want to encourage you to do is just receive a blessing. So during this last song, we are going to have an opportunity. I'm going to invite those moms who are going to be praying the prayers to go ahead and come on forward. There's going to be a bunch of moms up here. There's going to be some moms in the theater, and they have a word of prayer and a word of blessing. So if you just are a mom, you just need someone to just pray for you. You just need someone to just, you know, bless you, to give you a hug. We'd like you to come. And then we've got you a little gift. We got all the moms just a little pot. been waiting all week to say that. I think we should advertise the service, a little pot for all the moms. We would have had thousands, but the board said we couldn't do that. So it also has some seeds in there. Some of them are poppy seeds, I think. This is not good. I'm out of control. And chocolate. And there's chocolate, okay? It's just a gift for you to grow. And like our children, it's going to grow. And that gift for you. But the prayer and the blessing from these moms, these moms up here, rock star people who are in the trenches with you. Some are veteran leadership, and they just want to pray for you. And so we want to have that word of prayer and blessing. So let me say a prayer blessing on the moms. And then during this last song, if you'd like to come and receive that blessing, you can. If you don't want to do that, but you still want the gift, we've got a bunch out in the gathering areas in both venues that you can go ahead and grab. So let me just go ahead and have a prayer of blessing. Father, we honor you by honoring our moms. And the Bible says that for the righteous woman, the children rise up and call her blessed. And so we bless our moms. We honor them. We thank you that in your wisdom, you wanted to let us know what you are like by giving us a mom, that you are close. You have said in the scripture that you are like a mother hen gathering her chicks under the wings. You have the heart of a mother, and that is a heart from you. And so we pray for every mother here that they could receive a blessing. We pray for those moms who are full of joy and seeing beautiful fruit. We're praying for moms, like all moms, who are in the middle of it, and there's disappointment, and there's difficulty, and maybe their kids are going in a tough direction. We pray a blessing. We pray for every woman here who has the heart of a mom, who longs to be a mom, and maybe they can't, or maybe God hasn't called to be a mom, but they have a momming role in a different way, a foster mom, an adoptive mom, a just aunt, a sister, a teacher, who comes and takes part of that parenting role for kids who are underparented. Father God, I just honor you, and we praise you for moms. What would we do without our moms? So thank you. It's one of your greatest gifts of love. It's one of your greatest testimonies that you are good. And so we would just ask that you would just bless these moms as the ones who want to come forward and just receive this prayer as we lift this up in Jesus' name. Amen.